following you are about to hear may seem strange and bizarre, but it is our intention to bring you only documented truth. So-called modern communism is apparently the same hypocritical and deadly world conspiracy to destroy civilization that was founded by the secret order of the Illuminati. The conspirators thereupon conceived the plan for the future of supplementing the long-established secret conspiracy with an unremitting public campaign for victims among the ignorant of all nations. Have failed to grasp the staggering realities of this conspiracy within a conspiracy. The revolutionary attempt to overthrow all governments and all religions in order to enslave the whole human race under a super one-world government ruled by satanic despotism. Lone voices have been raised to alert the world to the imminent dangers from the satanic conspiracy of the forces of darkness.
This voice is added to the millions around the world who seek the truth and who speak the truth. This is the Iconoclast Report with Carolyn Harris. Prepare to have your paradigm shattered. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Iconoclast Report. Today is August 8th, 2009. I am, of course, your host, Carolyn Harris. Again, glad to be live. So glad to be back here with you, and thank you for sharing your Saturday with me. Today is part two of the series Constitutional Crisis and the Patriot Paradigm. And if you tuned in last week, live or listened to it on the rebroadcast, you learned about how the United States of America, England, Ireland, and all of the colonies are actually still underneath the king, the monarchy of England, because the king gave all of his holdings, all of his land, and including the people, to the Vatican. So therefore, the United States and all of the colonies of Great Britain are actually under the Vatican. Pretty shocking news. That's not something that we are taught in our public indoctrination center history classes. It's not something that you're going to see on the History Channel, but it is true nonetheless. If you did miss that show, I strongly encourage you to check it out in the archives, and you can get there by going to my website, which is www.nwolibrary.com. Click on Iconoclast Report, and the archives for every single show that I have done are in there. And as always, all of the documents that I cite are located in the New World Order Library, or NWO Library. And you can get there by clicking on the NWO Library button on my website. The documents that I will be citing from today are in the history section under United States of America. Today, we're going to talk about the founding fathers. Okay, who were they really? Who were these mighty men of old, these men of renown? Are they who we have been taught they are? Actually, well, you're going to find out. And as I promised the other faithful listeners of Oracle Broadcasting Network's shows, we're going to talk about orgies and betrayal and sex and violence and pedigrees and all kinds of juicy, exciting, interesting things that, you know, you don't normally think of when you think of Benjamin Franklin and John Adams and Sam Adams and George Washington with his wooden teeth. You know, those kind of things just don't occur to you because, well, they've been purposefully withheld. And a lot of us who do research are aware of the fact that there is hidden or suppressed history, and it is up to us to find it. And that, of course, is why I created my online library, to make it easier for you, dear listener, to find documents that are really hard to otherwise locate, to make it easier for you to save your time. And guess what? It's open and free to anybody in the anybody in the world, maybe unless you live in China, and you can also email any of the documents in the library to somebody else if you think that it would benefit them. So on the other side, we're going to get right into it. This is a short segment. We'll be right back. Stay tuned, everybody.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skin care, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
And I had noted, with increasing dismay, that a number of the predictions which were purely fantastic when I made them 30 years ago have come true, are seeming closest of coming true, that a number of techniques about which I talked seem to be here already, and that there seems to be a general movement in the direction of this kind of ultimate revolution, this method of control by which people can be made to enjoy a state of affairs which, by any decent standard, they ought not to enjoy, the enjoyment of servitude.
Welcome back. So let's just jump right in, shall we, and talk about these founding fathers. Well, the first document I am going to cite is called The United States is Still a British Colony, Part 1 by James Montgomery, and that is, of course, in the NWO Library in the History section under United States of America. And you will notice, if you go there, that every single footnote in that document is a separate entry, because I thought that would be easier for people. So Mr. Montgomery says, Benjamin Franklin, John Jay, and John Adams negotiated a treaty of further granted privileges from the King of England. Keep this in mind as you study these documents. You also need to understand the players of those that negotiated this treaty. For the Americans, it was Benjamin Franklin Esquire, a great patriot and a standard bearer of freedom. Or was he? Well, his title includes Esquire. And those of you who did listen last week, you will recognize this, we went over this last week, but I think it is so important that it bears repeating. So continuing on, an esquire is above, in the above usage, was a granted rank and title of nobility by the king, which is below a knight and above a yeoman, a common man. An esquire is someone that does not do manual labor, as signified by this status, and we're going to have a few definitions. Esquires, by virtue of their offices as justices of the peace, and others who bear any office of trust under the crown. For whosoever studieth the laws of the realm, obviously an attorney, who studieth in the universities, who professeth in the liberal sciences, and who can live idly and without manual labor, and will bear the port, charged in countenance of a gentleman, he shall be called master, and shall be taken for a gentleman. And that is from Blackstone Commentaries. Another one is Esquire in English law, a title of dignity annexed above gentleman and below a knight. Also a title of office given to sheriffs, sergeants, and barristers of law, justices of the peace, and others. And that's from Black's Law Dictionary, 4th edition. Now, Benjamin Franklin, John Adams, and John Jay, as you can read in the treaty, and that is the Paris Peace Treaty, were all esquires and were signers of the treaty and the only negotiators of the treaty. The representative of the king was David Hartley, Esquire. Benjamin Franklin was the main negotiator for the terms of the treaty. He spent most of the war traveling between England and France. The use of Esquire declared his and the others' British subjection and loyalty to the crown. So lest anyone think that there is no conflict of interest there, just ponder that for a moment. I mean, he had a title of nobility. And he used that title even while he was supposedly negotiating a peace treaty between England and the colonies of America. Now, let's talk about Ben Franklin. Everybody knows him. He's the portly guy with a little round glasses who discovered electricity with his kite and the key. I mean, that got to be a little crazy to do that. We all know better than to do that now, but he invented bifocals. He even started some schools. But what else do we know about him? Oh, a lot. This is pretty interesting here. Okay, from a document entitled The Occult Conspiracy, Secret Societies, Their Influence and Power in World History by Michael Howard. This is not in the library, but you can look that up in a search engine. He wrote, in addition to Poor Richard's Almanac, a piece called Fart Proudly. Also, he spent time with many occultists, such as Philippe Marchand. The Le Marchand puzzle box, known as the Child's Own Losses, was first purchased by Voltaire at his Ferney estate during one of Le Marchand's legendary auctions in 1749. Voltaire later presented the box as a gift to the Grand Master of the Nine Sisters Lodge in Paris, Benjamin Franklin. Philippe Le Marchand first met Ben Franklin during a Masonic conference in New York in 1753. The two had shared interest in natural science and hidden sciences of the occult. They made several trips to Europe together in the 1770s. They primarily stayed in London, but often dared to travel to Paris with Le Marchand in disguise so as not to alert, quote-unquote, the authorities to his return. During these journeys, Franklin made a point to always publicly introduce Le Marchand as the professor. It was Franklin who introduced the professor to George Washington in 1775 at a dinner party held for the American Flag Committee. It is said that Le Marchand, as the professor, put forth several proposals about the design of the flag that were eagerly accepted by the committee without argument. Now, if anyone has ever seen the original United States flag, you know that it is it has the all-seeing eye with lots of rays coming out of it, and that is no mistake. All right. Franklin was an occultist, Freemason, and possible Satanist who was the Grand Master of the Masonic Lodge in Pennsylvania, so apparently he was a Grand Master of two lodges. He was a Quaker, but had become a Freemason in 1731 when he joined the Lodge of St. John in Philadelphia, which was the first recognized Masonic Lodge in America. At the time he was inducted, Franklin was working as a journalist and wrote several pro-Masonic articles which were published in the Pennsylvania Gazette. In 1732, he helped draft the bylaws of his lodge, and in 1734, he printed the Constitutions, which was the first Masonic book ever issued in America. He eventually rose to Grand Master of the St. John's Lodge, and in 1749 was elected Grand Master of the province. While in France in 1770 as a diplomat, as a diplomat for America, Franklin was made Grand Master of the Nine Sisters Lodge in Paris. Members of the lodge included Danton, who was to play a crucial role in the French Revolution, the Marquis de Lafayette, and Paul Jones, both of whom fought in the American War of Independence. That would be John Paul Jones. While in Paris, Franklin used his Masonic contacts to raise funds to buy arms for the American rebels, and quoting that document. So, obviously, Mr. Ben Franklin was really heavily invested in Freemasonry. You know, I don't know of any other people who are grand masters or ever have been of two different lodges at the same time. He obviously used his connections, which were extensive in England and France, to raise money. Now, also, if you remember from last week's part one of the series, in the treaty, the King of England stated that he was the King of France also. Okay, and that was also, he stated that within his notices and his letters, his correspondence with Pope Innocent III. So, consider that when you think about who was on which side during the War of Independence. Okay, I mean, if the King of England was also the King of France, then that kind of throws everything into question, doesn't it? Because wait a minute, we were all taught that France was on our side against England. So what's really going on? We'll talk about that on the other side. We'll be right back.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that if you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. Using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your two-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
How would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more, all at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own Survival Oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with two cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. That's SurvivalOven.com.
The Animal Farm Radio Show.
Now they're bleaching bread to look like multigrain, so you have to brown.
Yeah, you get your ugly white ass out.
Weeknights from 5 to 7 p.m. Central.
I wrote 30 years ago a fable of Brave New World, which is essentially the account of the society making use of all the devices at their time available, and some of the devices which I imagine to be possible, making use of them in order to, first of all, standardize the population, to iron out inconvenient human differences, to create, so to say, mass-produced models of human beings arranged in some kind of...
Welcome back, everybody. We are talking about Benjamin Franklin, our revered forefather. I just plopped a link into the Iconoclast Report chat room. If you're listening on an archive, you can get to this link. It's www.pyramid-gallery.com/childsownlosses.html. Very, very interesting. They give a little bit more history about Mr. Ben Franklin, and they also show a picture of the cube entitled, that was called Child's Own Losses. It's very, very strange. It's very colorful, but it's very odd looking. And another person mentioned, you know, it kind of reminds me of that cube from the movie Hellraiser. Well, actually, I thought that too. It's much more colorful and friendly looking, but still, it's still creepy. But this website goes on to talk about Ben Franklin, who was also a Rosicrucian Grand Master, who was at heart of the Illuminati operations to take over America and replace the visible control of the British Empire with the invisible control of the Secret Brotherhood, the most effective and ongoing form of mastering the underclass. It is said that the Illuminati, via Freemasons, controlled and manipulated both sides of the American War of Independence and were also deeply connected with the French Revolution. Now, remember right before the break what I was asking you to think about. If the King of England was also the King of France, then that would kind of mean that he was on both sides. And, gee, why would he do that? Well, if you are a researcher like myself or other people who do a lot of research, you will know that this is a classic tactic to not only instigate conflicts and wars, but to do so by owning both sides of the conflict. You know, arming them, giving them loans to buy weapons from essentially themselves at interest. So they make money immediately by getting, the money with the interest, but they also gain power. They don't care who wins because either way, they win. So keep that in mind and just think about that for a little bit. Who was on both sides of this conflict? Well, this is even more interesting. Ben Franklin was Agent 72 of the British Intelligence Agency created by Dr. John Dee and Francis Bacon during the reign of Elizabeth I. During their time in London, Franklin and the professor were brought into contact with those in positions of power who shared their Masonic and occult interests. One of these was Sir Francis Dashwood, the English Chancellor of the Exchequer, who is also the founder of a secret society called the Friars of St. Francis of Wycombe, more popularly known in the parlors of London as the Hellfire Club. Franklin and Le Marchand spent a summer at Dashwood's estate in West Wycombe, which is north of London, where they took part in rituals in the specially created caves dug on Dashwood's orders. Dashwood and Franklin, both postmasters, together were able to control and disseminate intelligence better than the military. Postmaster at this point in history meant spy master, as the postmasters controlled the movement of information. Quote, did this day heliograph intelligence from Dr. Franklin in Paris to Wycombe? End quote. That is from John Norris, agent of Dashwood, in a letter dated June 3rd, 1778. Now notice the date, 1778. Wait. That's 2 years after America supposedly declared their independence. So here we see Dr. Franklin kind of playing both sides also. Who was he really working for? Well, he was an Illuminist. He was in the Illuminati. And being a Rosicrucian Grandmaster and the Grandmaster of the Lodge in Paris and in Pennsylvania, well, what did you expect? So if you've never heard of the Hellfire Clubs, well, you will now. This is from a document entitled, it's actually a web page that I converted to a document entitled Historical Satanism, Description, Justification, Philosophies of Satanism. And that is in the library under Religious Manipulation, Luciferian Sex. And I know that there are people out there who get really upset with me whenever I connect Luciferianism with Satanism. And, you know, honestly, usually those people are witches, and so that criticism doesn't really bother me too much. A lot of these people are gatekeepers, and they will protest to their last breath that they have anything to do with each other. They will also protest to their last breath that Wicca has nothing to do with it either. But if you do any research into the subject, you will find that that is just patently untrue. Now, some of those people are really low-level Wiccans, and they actually believe that. They really don't know yet. But, you know, it's up to them, just like it is up to us, to do their own research and find out. But they're kind of like porch masons. That would be the lower level Freemasons who are purposely lied to, and information has been specifically and purposely withheld from them. But again, it's up to everybody to do their own research. So what this website and this page says, talks about hellfire clubs in the 18th century. It says, and this is quoting from the Satanic Bible by Anton LaVey, quote, "The Satanism for fun and games fad next appeared in England in the middle of the 18th century in the form of Sir Francis Dashwood's Order of the Medmenham, Franciscans, popularly called the Hellfire Club. While eliminated the blood, gore, and baby fat candles of the previous century's masses, Sir Francis managed to conduct rituals replete with good, dirty fun, and certainly provided a colorful and harmless form of psychodrama for many of the leading lights of the period. An interesting sideline of Dr. Francis, which lends a clue to the climate of the Hellfire Club, was also a group called the Dilettanti Club, of which he was the founder. And that is what is said in the Satanic Bible, written by Anton LaVey. Now we're going to cite a Amazon review of a book entitled The Hellfire Clubs, A History of Anti-Morality by Jeffrey Ash. Quote, "The Hellfire Clubs conjure up images of aristocratic rakes outraging respectability at every turn, cutting a swath through the village maidens and celebrating black masses." Now pay attention to this. While all this is true, okay, let me repeat though, all this is true, okay, they even admit it. It is not the whole story. The author of this volume has assembled an account of the clubs and their antecedents and descendants. At the center of this book is the principal brotherhood known by the Hellfire name, Sir Francis Dashwood's notorious monks of Medmenham, with their strange rituals and initiation rites, library of erotica, and nun companions recruited from the brothels of London. From this maverick group flow such noble literary libertines as Horace Walpole and Lord Byron. Predating the Medmenham are the figures of the Rabelais and John Dee, both expounding philosophies of do what thou will, or anything goes. Jeffrey Ash traces the influence of the libertarian philosophies on the world of the Enlightenment, showing how they met the need for a secular morality at a time when Christianity faced the onslaught of rationalism and empiricism. He follows the libertarian tradition through de Sade, and that of course would be Marquis de Sade, into the 20th century with discussions of Aleister Crowley, Charles Manson, and Timothy Leary, delving below the scandals to reveal the social and political impact of doing your own thing, which has roots far deeper than the post-war permissive society. Now, I do not have that book in my library, but I thought the review was quite interesting, specifically because they admitted, while all of this is true, they had secret rites, they had secret rituals, they recruited prostitutes from the brothels and called them nuns. They were the monks of Medmenham. And so they were making fun of, obviously, the Catholic Church, which isn't all that hard to do. We will continue on the other side of this quick break with even more juicy stuff on the next side. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
As America limps on its last legs, a pillar of truth has risen. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
You invest. You buy insurance. You wear your seatbelt. You do things to ensure your family's future and protection. But why? Just in case? With the current state of affairs, ask yourself, am I ready? Preparation starts at SurvivalGearSource.com. SurvivalGearSource.com has a huge selection of vital products. Emergency survival kits, gas masks, MREs, products for pet care, your car, home, office, and school. Protect against pandemics, all natural disasters, and terror attacks that can happen at any time. If you're not prepared, the last place you want to be is standing in a FEMA line. Invest in your future now. Visit SurvivalGearSource.com or call 877-231-1925. That's 877-231-1925. SurvivalGearSource.com. That's SurvivalGearSource.com. 877-231-1925. SurvivalGearSource.com. Prepare for tomorrow now, and for a free gift on your first order, enter coupon code Oracle at checkout. Don't forget, preparation starts at SurvivalGearSource.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
The question of how and why the United Nations, the crux of the great conspiracy to destroy the sovereignty of the United States, and the enslavement of the American people within a UN one-world dictatorship is a complete and unknown mystery to the vast majority of the American people. The reason for this unawareness, the frightening danger to our country and to the entire free world, is simple. The masterminds behind this great conspiracy have absolute control of all of our masterminds.
Alrighty, welcome back everybody. We're talking about the Hellfire Clubs and that Benjamin Franklin was a member, and oh my goodness, these were rowdy and ribald guys here. We are going to quote from a book entitled Lucifer Rising by Gavin Battley, page 19. Again, that is also not in the library, but you can look that up. It's called Lucifer Rising. It says, an informal network of hellfire clubs thrived in Britain during the 18th century dedicated to debauchery and blasphemy, with members drawn from the cream of the political, artistic, and literary establishments. They became sufficiently scandalous to inspire a number of acts of parliament aimed at their suppression. Historians have been inclined to dismiss the hellfire clubs as nothing more than riotous drinking societies, but the significance of many of the nation's most powerful and brilliant men dedicating themselves to Satan is difficult to ignore. That they did so with laughter on their lips and a drink in their hands does not diminish the gesture as so much as place them more firmly in the satanic tradition. The inspiration for the Hellfire Clubs also drew heavily from profane literature, such as Gargantua, an unusual work combining folklore, satire, coarse humor, and lighthearted philosophy written in the 16th century by a renegade monk named François Rabelais. One section of the book concerned a monk who has at an abbey built that he named Thelema. Ah, Thelema, many of you will recognize that name, dedicated to the pleasure of the flesh. Only the brightest, most beautiful, and best are permitted within its walls, and its motto is, Fais ce que vous voudrez. Fais ce que vous voudrez. Do what you will. And many of you will also recognize that. That is the one rule of Satanism. Do what you will. Now, Wiccans have a very similar little saying, do what thou wilt, but harm none. Well, you know, as they rise higher and higher in the ranks, the harm none part just kind of falls by the wayside. But that's another subject for another day. I might do a series on that later. And this is another document, and this is really interesting, entitled The Medmenham Monks, a.k.a. the Hellfire Clubs. And this is on a website called MontagueMillennium.com, and that's MONTAGUE Millennium.com, all about the Montague family. Franklin's exposure to the club is described as follows by Cecil B. Curry in Road to Revolution, Benjamin Franklin in England, 1765 to 1775, quote, Franklin knew le dispensaire very well. He was fully aware of an enterprise which the Englishman had been conducting for some years, more or less surreptitiously, known as the Hellfire Club. Its activities were familiar to Franklin, and he occasionally joined in them. In his youth, le dispensaire had been a member of many rakes groups. In later years, he determined to form a secret society that would express his interest in architecture, literature, and religion. Only the cleverest and most humorous of his friends would be asked to join. The perfect location for such a society was soon found, and of course we're talking about Sir Dashwood here, le dispensaire. Only 6 miles from the Baron's estate, on the bank of the Thames River near Marlow in Buckinghamshire, lay the ruins of Medmenham Abbey. It had been founded by the Cistercian monks in 1145. The abbey was well located in a grove of trees which nearly concealed it from view. The nearest road was some distance away, but members would be able to approach it easily in private boats and could return to their homes in complete privacy. Workmen were sent in, and the abbey was rebuilt in the grounds landscaped to make it into a garden of lust. Marble pillars were erected on which were carved pornographic inscriptions in bastard or macaroni Latin. Small Grecian-style temples were put up here and there. The groves were filled with statuary and indecent poses. Hollowed from a hill was the cave of Trophonius. A fresco within it pictured sexually robust animals, a crowing cock, and a laughing nun. The buildings were also designed to carry out the theme of sexuality. To one side of the main door sat a statue of Harpocrates, the god of silence. Opposite was Volupian and Jerome, goddess of secret passion. Rooms adjacent to the chapel were designated to heighten the sexual utility of the place. There was a Roman room. Its wall hung with paintings copied from ancient and indecent Roman frescoes. Also on the walls were paintings of famous English prostitutes. Wow! Probably only there in the entire world you would have a hall of fame for prostitutes. And small statues of Egyptian gods and goddesses sat in niches in the walls. The abbey's library was situated near the Roman room. It supposedly contained one of the most complete collection of pornography in England. Somewhere between 1752 and 1755, Dashwood, that would be le dispensaire, his nickname, opened his society known as the Medmenham Monks, and later referred to as the Hellfire Club. For his monks, there was to be a goodly number of nuns, the main reason that many belonged to the club. Most were prostitutes, some were local girls wanting excitement, but many were ladies of society. Of the last group, one of the best known was Lady Mary Wortley Montague. Many nuns were wives, mothers, sisters, or the betrothed of members. Imagine having your fiancé there with your friends. That's pretty creepy. The members, or monks, were, quote, dabblers in art and literature, and many were among the most prominent men in the kingdom. There were two orders of monks, the superior and the inferior. 12 superiors and perhaps as many as 40 and 50 inferior members. Superior members include Lord Sandwich. And we have him to thank for sandwiches, of course, and I really do appreciate that. A group with a membership of this scope could wield a tremendous power if they wished to act in unison for political ends. It was for this reason that Benjamin Franklin became a monk sometime after his arrival in England in 1764. So there you go. Ben Franklin was not only the Grand Master of two Freemasonic lodges, a really high up dude in Rosicrucian society, but he also joined this Hellfire Club because of the political power. So, I mean, we can go on and on, but here's a quote. This is pretty funny, from Franklin. Quote, "The exquisite sense of classical design, charmingly reproduced, whimsical and puzzling, as it may be in its imagery, is as evident below the earth as above it. Others known to be present at that time were Lady Mary Wortley Montagu of the household of Frederick, Prince of Wales." So, very, very interesting. As above, so below. That is another esoteric or occult phrase that many of you will recognize. Now we're going to move on to a little less juicy person. His name is John Jay, Esquire. And, of course, this is the man who wrote the Paris Peace Treaty. This is from Berry Hill and Sturgeon Limited, which is a purveyor of reproduction historical documents. This is their little biography of Mr. Jay Esquire. Jay was born in New York City and graduated with the highest honors from King's College, which is now Columbia University, in 1764. In 1768, he was admitted to the bar and for a time was partner of Robert R. Livingston. His marriage to Sarah Livingston allied him with that influential family. In pre-revolutionary activities, he reflected the views of the conservative colonial merchant class, opposing British actions but not favoring independence. Once the Declaration of Independence was proclaimed, however, he energetically supported the Patriot cause. So, hey, nothing like switching sides, right? As a delegate to the First and Second Continental Congress, he wrote a famous address to the people of Great Britain. Returning in 1777 to the Provincial Congress of New York, he guided the drafting of the first New York State Constitution. Jay was then appointed Chief Justice of New York, but left that post in December 1778 to become President of the Continental Congress. That was December 10, 1778 through September 29, 1779. 9 months later, he was sent as Minister Plenipotentiary to Spain to secure financial aid. Well, he was a confirmed Mason also. So here you have Benjamin Franklin and John Jay going overseas, to Spain, France, and England, actually to France, to beg money for arms and mercenaries and things like that. So, they used their Masonic connections to do that, of which obviously Ben Franklin's were extensive. In 1781, he was appointed one of the commissioners to negotiate peace with Great Britain and joined Ben Franklin in Paris. So, we can go on and on about his other exploits and posts that he held, but we're going to talk about his relationship with Ben Franklin on the other side of this quick break. We'll be right back. It's kind of weird. Stay tuned.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Decoding the New World Order, past, present, and future, Monday through Friday, 11 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, The Global Reality with Josh Reeds.
There's something else going on here, and they haven't told you the whole story. You are the spot in the brain, so they give your body to the bank and quicker. So your body now becomes part of the corporation of the United States because you are a money maker.
Welcome back, everybody. Before the break, I told you we're going to talk about the relationship between Benjamin Franklin Esquire and John Jay Esquire. Well, we're going to read from a website entitled johnjhomestead.org, and that's obviously a website dedicated to Monsieur Jay and his family home. And they have a PDF document called Franklin and Jay. And it says, for several years, there was little reason for contact between Franklin and Jay, the latter now deeply involved with political matters in his home state. However, when Jay was elected President of Congress, communication with the elder statesman resumed. Their letters, their official letters are formal, beginning with Dear Sir and ending with great respect and esteem. During Jay's presidency, Congress, hopeful of loans, mapped out a foreign policy for dealing with the Spanish court and appointed him minister plenipotentiary. He sailed with his wife Sarah, his nephew, his brother-in-law, his secretary, and a French minister, Conrad Alexandre de Gérard, for France on the Confederacy. So once he got there, the correspondence between the two men accelerated as Jay quickly found that he was neither acknowledged as America's representative nor able to secure any support from the Spanish court. He turned to Franklin for advice, urging, quote, a good understanding between public servants at the different courts, a sentiment later the latter confirmed. He also had to apply to Franklin for funds, as none were forthcoming either from Congress or the Spanish. So Jay was basically kind of a failure getting any money from the Spanish. He didn't have any money to support himself or his little family or entourage, because he did go there with his servants. So he had to beg Ben Franklin for money, please, please support me. So many letters were official business, but Jay, usually so stiff and correct, seemed comfortable with Franklin, even teasing him a bit. Franklin, who was always congenial, continued to relieve Jay's financial embarrassment as best he could. Quote, if you find any inclination to hug me for the good news of this letter, I constitute and appoint Mrs. Jay, my attorney, to receive on my behalf your embraces. By the end of 1780, the somewhat stuffy Jay was signing his letters to Franklin, quote, your obliged and affectionate friend and servant. Now, even though Jay had been the first president of Congress, and he was also an Esquire, notice how Franklin refers to himself as Mr. Jay's servant, and this to a man who had to be financially supported by Franklin. And now in the following correspondence during their stay in Europe, notice especially how Ben Franklin addresses Jay. This is from this is a book entitled Letters from France by Benjamin Franklin and Brett F. Woods, and you can find that on Google Books. It says, Passy, France, September 4, 1782, to His Excellency, John Jay, Esquire. Now, this is the same greeting that Benjamin Franklin gives to Monsieur le Comte de Vergennes, yet when corresponding with an ordinary attorney who happened to be the former partner in the law firm with John Jay, Esquire, he only addresses the attorney as the Honorable Robert R. Livingston. So, Your Excellency, John Jay, Esquire. That sounds even more pompous and frou-frou and much more connected to nobility and monarchy than we have ever been led to believe. So I just wanted to point that out, that there was maybe a little bit of that going on that has intentionally been swept under the rug. Well, okay, so we're done with Benjamin Franklin and John Jay. Well, of course, we have to move to Sam Adams. Now, I really appreciate Sam Adams. I think he was a great bear maker. But that's neither here nor there, actually. This is from a document entitled United States Presidents in the Illuminati, Masonic Power Structure. And that document is located within my website, the New World Order Library. Go to www.nwolibrary.com. Click on the NWO Library button. It's in History under United States of America. Says Samuel Adams was born in Boston, a major propagandist opposing British officials and policies as well as British taxation in the colonies. In 1773, he participated in planning of the Boston Tea Party. Adams also signed the Declaration of Independence in 1776. He served as a delegate to the Continental Congress until 1781 and became governor of Massachusetts from 1794 to 1797. Well, you know, that all sounds pretty tame and boring, but he was a confirmed Freemason and Illuminist. He was very helpful in playing both sides off of each other. As we've talked about before, the classic tactic of starting a conflict, provoking it, poke, poke, poke to get it really going, stirring the hornet's nest, then selling weapons to both sides and, you know, let them all fight to the death. Who cares who wins, because they both, you know, they win anyway. So Sam Adams, I'm very depressed to learn about that. But, yes, he was, in fact, an actual Illuminist. Yes, kind of a colonial Edward Bernays. Very good point. Now, of course, we have to move to George Washington. And George Washington is, of course, pretty much, you know, sacrosanct. How dare anyone say anything bad about the man who couldn't lie? He did chop down the cherry tree, the man with the wooden teeth. Well, guess what? I really, I'm here to break your paradigm and shatter all of that. So sit down, put your seatbelt on, and take notes. Okay, George Washington was a confirmed Freemason. That is not anything that is a secret, okay? In 1785, okay, this is after the Declaration of Independence and all those kind of things, President George Washington, in a letter written to Reverend G.W. Snyder, quote, Reverend Sir, it is not my intention to doubt that the doctrine of the Illuminati, the principles of Jacobinism had not spread to the United States. On the contrary, no one is more satisfied of this fact than I am. And quote, shortly before he died, President Washington was well aware that the Adam Weishaupt radical blend of Freemasonry, the Illuminati, had spread its poison to America. He was initiated November 4th, 1752 in Fredericksburg, Lodge No. 4 in Fredericksburg, Virginia. Brother Washington became worshipful master on December 20th, 1788, and was inaugurated President of the United States on April 30th, 1789, thus becoming the first and so far the only brother to be simultaneously President and Master of his Lodge. Washington took the oath of office as president April 30th, 1789, on the Bible belonging to St. John's Lodge No. 1 of New York City. And that is a reference to the New Age magazine published January 1953. The New Age magazine is a Masonic publication, which some people would be very confused to find out, okay? But here's the deal. The New Age, all of this stuff that's touted by the New Age movement, you know, that is nothing new. It's not new. There really is nothing new under the sun. And really, we'll have to actually just do a complete series on this, but the New Age is something that has taken all of these different esoteric, low-level, I should say, esoteric teachings and kind of rolled them together to rope people into a one-world religion. And there are a lot of people who would completely disagree, even vehemently or violently so. Well, okay, you know, that's fine. Disagreeing is good because then we get to hear the other person's point of view. And, hey, you know what? Your facts may be more current than mine, or you may have a better source. I don't know. Unless someone brings that to attention. So if you have anything to say, you're welcome to contact me, and you can do so through my website. There is a contact page. But so the New Age magazine is a Masonic publication. George Washington was also a member of the Knights of the Garter. Now, the Order of the Garter is the core leader of the Committee of 300. Now, that is very interesting. I did not know that. George Washington was a member of the Scottish Rite, performed the Rite of the Mystic Tie in a cave complex near Winchester, Virginia, during the French and Indian War. I actually grew up near Winchester, Virginia, close to Mount Weather, which, of course, is a underground military bunker. It is an underground military installation, and if you go anywhere near there, they will shoot you. No warnings. So that's pretty interesting. Now, that is cited by a Masonic Association by Michael Anthony Hoffman. Well, coming up on a break here. We're going to start hour two talking more about George Washington on the other side. Stay tuned, everybody.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product. product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that if you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. Using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your two-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com. You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
The nature of the ultimate revolution with which we are now facing is precisely this, that we are in process of developing a whole series of techniques which will enable the controlling oligarchies that always existed and presumably always will exist. Yes, people actually to love their virtue. This is the ultimate in malevolent revolution.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour two of the Iconoclast Report. We are on part two of this series, Constitutional Crisis and the Patriot Paradigm. And today we are talking about the Founding Fathers. And we are just really explaining more than you ever knew before about George Washington, confirmed Freemason. Now, during his presidency, the United States, he says, is in no manner founded on Christian principle. And he said that in the Treaty of Tripoli. No vice presidents at that time. Now, George Washington nominated 11 Supreme Court justices during his presidency. 6 out of 11 were confirmed Masons. Washington was wearing his Masonic apron, okay? And he is related to the following presidents: Theodore Roosevelt, Franklin Roosevelt, maybe Grant, Van Buren, and the Tafts. And that is from a book entitled Everything is Under Control, Conspiracies, Cults, and Cover-Ups by Robert Anton Wilson. And if you have never heard of Robert Anton Wilson, I encourage you very strongly to look him up. He has a lot of interesting things to say. Well, here is a quote from the revered George Washington, quote, being persuaded that a just application of the principles on which the Masonic fraternity is founded must be promote of private virtue and public prosperity. I shall always be happy to advance the interests of the society and to be considered by them as a deserving brother. So always really is a pretty absolute term now, isn't it? Well, yes, our acknowledged first president was really deep in a Freemasonry, and, you know, he has been whitewashed in many, many, many ways, but he was no innocent either. Now, we're going to go on and talk about some other people who were also involved in the founding of America, in the American, quote-unquote, War of Independence, and what parts they played. Okay, now, a gentleman named Joseph Warren, who was born in Roxbury, Massachusetts, was a soldier and leader in the American Revolution who sent Paul Revere and William Dawes to Lexington and Concord on their famous ride to warn local patriots that the British troops were being sent against them. He helped draft a group of protests to Parliament known as the Suffolk Reserves. He was a confirmed Mason. In December 1769, Warren received a commission for the Earl of Dalhousie, Grand Masters of Masons in Scotland, appointing him the provincial Grand Master of Masons in Boston and within 100 miles of the same. So Joseph Warren became the Grand Master of the Lodge in Massachusetts. The commission was dated May 30, 1769. When the Earl of Dumfries succeeded Dalhousie as Grand Master of Scotland, he issued another appointment to Warren, dated March 7, 1772, constituting Warren as the Grand Master of Masons for the continent of America, thus extending its original limits. Now, think about the significance of that. Here you have the current Grand Master of the Masons in Massachusetts
sending Paul Revere and William Dawes to warn the Patriots that the British are coming, the British are coming. Again, we are seeing very clearly how both sides are played against each other. Now, there's another interesting person. Oh, I forgot this is a short segment, only 5 minutes. We'll get into other people on the other side of this quick break. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back.
How would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more, all at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own Survival Oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with 2 cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. That's SurvivalOven.com.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Prime Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Prime Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monkey is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
You invest. You buy insurance. You wear your seatbelt. You do things to ensure your family's future and protection. But why? Just in case? With the current state of affairs, ask yourself, am I ready? Preparation starts at SurvivalGearSource.com. SurvivalGearSource.com has a huge selection of vital products, emergency survival kits, gas masks, MREs, products for pet care, your car, home, office, and school. Protect against pandemics, all natural disasters, and terror attacks that can happen at any time. If you're not prepared, the last place you want to be is standing in a FEMA line. Invest in your future now. Visit SurvivalGearSource.com or call 877-231-1925. That's 877-231-1925. SurvivalGearSource.com. That's SurvivalGearSource.com. 877-231-1925. SurvivalGearSource.com. Prepare for tomorrow now, and for a free gift on your first order, enter coupon code ORACLE at checkout. Don't forget, preparation starts at SurvivalGearSource.com.
Welcome back, everybody. We are going to get into some other people who are involved in the American Revolution, the first of which is Baron von Steuben, born in Magdeburg, Prussia, a German officer who proved indispensable to the cause of U.S. independence by converting the Revolutionary Army into a disciplined fighting force. While in France, as agents for the newly formed U.S. government, Benjamin Franklin and Silas Deane learned of Steuben's plight, that he had been obliged to leave for unsavory conduct from Hohenzollern, Heikkinen, where he had been made a knight of the Order of Fidelity in the Navy Margravate of Baden and Durlach, which brought about his availability. So he was kicked out for being a freak. basically. This prompted a letter of introduction from Benjamin Franklin and Silas Deane on his behalf, introducing him to General George Washington as Lieutenant General in the King of Prussia's service, who is fired with zeal for our cause. He also was a confirmed Mason. Now, of course, we have to talk about Lafayette. He was a French noble who fought with the American colonists against the British in the American Revolution, a confirmed Mason, and a member of the Illuminati. Appointed Major General by the colonists, he quickly struck up a lasting friendship with the American Commander-in-Chief, George Washington, who, of course, was all a confirmed Mason. And, of course, we have to talk about John Paul Jones. He was the Scottish-born naval hero of the U.S. War of Independence, renowned for his victory over British ships of war off the east coast of England, September 23, 1779. He, of course, is a confirmed Mason also. 1782, well, here we go, on July 16th, the year after the British supposedly surrendered to the Americans, representatives of the world's secret societies convened on the Congress of Willemsbad in Europe and formally joined Masonry and the Illuminati. In the next 4 years, the order was able to secretly establish several lodges in America. In 1785, for example, the Columbian Lodge of the Order of the Illuminati was established in New York City. Its members included Governor DeWitt Clinton, Clinton Roosevelt, and that is cited from a book entitled New World Order, The Ancient Plan of Secret Societies by William T. Still. So, anybody else notice the name Clinton in there? I know I did. Any relation? I don't know, but boy, you know, the more you study these kind of things, the more you notice certain names popping up over and over and over. Well, we have to talk about John Adams, the second president of the United States, a Freemason. His vice president, Thomas Jefferson, the Democratic Republican, okay, was also confirmed Illuminati. Adams helped design the Great Seal. He was also related to Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who put the seal on the dollar bill. And that is from Everything is Under Control, Conspiracies, Cults, and Cover-Ups, again, by Robert Anton Wilson. Now we have to talk about the third president of the United States of America, Thomas Jefferson. He was confirmed Illuminati and a Mason, and that is from the Masonic Edition, Holy Bible 1951 edition. Well, poor records kept by the colonial lodges, the destruction of records by fire and war make it impossible to consult the original lodge records. Jefferson may have been a member of the Lodge of Charlottesville, Lodge number 90, and that, of course, is Charlottesville, Virginia, since his name appears in the minutes of this lodge on September 20th, 1817. Jefferson was also a member of the Lodge of the Nine Muses in Paris and the Bienen Order, which is the Order of the Bees, known outside Bavaria as the Illuminati. His vice president, Aaron Burr, was a confirmed Mason also, and he was a member of the Columns family of Satanists who called themselves the Hellfire Club. Now, if anybody notices the word Collins or remembers that from John Todd, who his real name is apparently Lance Collins. And if you have never heard John Todd before, I really encourage you to look him up on the internet. There are a number of YouTube videos. He's done a number of lectures and things like that, and it's very, very interesting what he has to say. Now, he's coming from a very specific paradigm. He left witchcraft and Satanism and went to the other end of the spectrum, to Christianity. So, depending on where you are and where your head is at and your belief system or whatever, take what you think is true, research it, and just let the rest go, because him coming from within a certain paradigm does not negate the information that he has to say. But anyway, I bring that up because he is from the Collins family, and if you look it up further, they are a very long line of Satanists. Now, Thomas Jefferson was a member of these purely satanic group, which is, of course, the Hellfire Club, who practiced satanic sexual ritual, occult rituals. And that citation is from The Illuminati Bloodlines by Fritz Springmeier. Now, this is really interesting. I know I'm reading a lot, but my goodness, there is so much information out there. And a lot of people do not believe that the Illuminati ever existed. There are a lot of people who say that, well, you know, it did exist at one point in time, but it was disbanded and, you know, they don't exist anymore. Well, you know, whether there's a group of people who meet in darkened rooms smoking cigars that call themselves the Illuminati or not. That's really irrelevant. It is basically a way to describe a very small group of people who are extremely powerful. They have an inordinate amount of wealth, and they don't need any more money. And for them, it's really not about money. It's about control. And these people are at the top, partly because they were born into, certain bloodlines. And for them, it really is all about the bloodlines. But this group of people do exist. And so they do work really hard to bring about what they call the great work. And if you look into the esoteric, if you look into the mystery schools at all, or even just Freemasonry, which is kind of the little fraternal brotherhood that is most out in front, and almost everybody has heard of Freemasonry or even knows someone maybe in their family who's a Freemason. And when we talk about Freemasonry, it's really important to understand that, you know, not everybody who is a member of a lodge is in this group. You know, that most of them don't know really very much at all. They are purposely lied to. They are what are called porch masons. So just to make the distinction there, maybe some of you out there are listening. Apparently someone in my chat room says that he is a 32nd or 33rd degree Freemason. Who knows? That's what he says. He's having quite the discussion with other people in there, which I can't participate in, even though I'd really like to. But we'll talk about what someone very interesting has said about the Illuminati right after this break. It's really food for thought. I'll be right back.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult.
With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Does Ordinary Talk Radio give you the laws?
Blah, blah, blah.
This ain't your daddy's talk radio. OracleBroadcasting.com.
And I have noted that with increasing dismay that a number of the predictions which were purely fantastic when I made them 30 years ago have come true, or seem in process of coming true, that a number of techniques about which I talk seem to be here already, and that there seems to be a general movement in the direction of this kind of ultimate revolution, this method of control by which people can be made to enjoy a state of affairs which, by any decent standard, they ought not to enjoy, the enjoyment of service.
Hello, everybody. We are going to read a little quote from a book called The Secret of the Illuminati by Elizabeth Van Buren. It says, Sir Francis Bacon had formed with the aid of his secret society the plans for the colonization of the Western Hemisphere. There is a secret and immutable destiny plan for mankind, one not recognized by or dreamt of by the mass of humanity. The northern continent of America had been decreed to be the land of a democratic commonwealth of the states thousands of years before Columbus ever sailed to its shores. There can be no doubt that the enlightened ones had a hand in the formation of the new nation. Thomas Paine, George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, and countless others who were involved in the signing of Declaration of Independence were all Freemasons or members of some other sect. The designs for both the Great Seal of the United States and earlier the flag of the colony indicate that they were inspired by those with esoteric knowledge. Well, that is the case, and if you are listening on our rebroadcast or on an archive, you missed the picture someone put in the chat room of the original flag. It is, I don't know, I think it's ugly, it's creepy, and disturbing. But if you'd like to later on, you can just look it up on Google Images, original American flag. It's pretty shocking. It looks a lot like some of the symbolism that's used on the Great Seal and the dollar bill. So, interesting. Now we're going to talk about all these different people who were involved in the greatest names of the American Revolution. Okay, and this is from a media Media Spotlight Special Report, Masonic History of America by Al Dagher, and that's from 1990. Based upon the evidence of Masonic influences in the establishment of this nation, there is no doubt that the criteria necessary to classify the United States as a Christian nation were not met. An objective study of the Masonic affiliations of the Founding Fathers must cause Christians to reevaluate their own political philosophy. For if the United States is not a Christian nation, then we must choose to whom we will commit, quote, our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor, the Lord. Our Lord or our country. And so this is obviously coming from a Christian paradigm, but the information is nonetheless very, very interesting. So we'll just rattle off these 20 greatest names quickly. John Adams spoke favorably of Freemasonry. Samuel Adams, close and principal associate of John Hancock, Revere, and other Masons. Ethan Allen, a Mason. Edmund Burke, a Mason. John Claypool, another Mason. William Dawes, a Mason. Benjamin Franklin Mason, Grand Master of the Lodge of Pennsylvania, and published the first Masonic book in America, and also again, Master of the Lodge in Paris. Let's see, Nathan Hale, he didn't have any evidence of Masonic connections that they could find. So, John Hancock Mason, Benjamin Harrison, no evidence of Masonic connections there, or Patrick Henry. Thomas Jefferson was a deist with some evidence of Masonic connection. John Paul Jones, Mason. Francis Scott Key, no evidence of Masonic connections that this person found. I did find some myself. Robert Livingston, remember, was the law partner with John Jay. Mr. Jay married his sister. He was a Mason. James Madison, some evidence of Masonic membership. Thomas Paine was a humanist. Paul Revere, a Mason, hero of the American Revolution, whose dramatic horseback ride on the night of April 18th, warning Boston area residents that the British were coming, confirmed Mason. Grand Master of the Grand Lodge of Massachusetts, 1795 to 1797. Colonel Benjamin Tupper, Mason, George Washington Mason, Daniel Webster, some evidence of Masonic connections. Now, summary of that is there are 10 Masons, 3 probable Masons, 1 humanist, 2 advocates of Freemasonry, and only 4 with no record of Freemasonic connections. Now, of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, the known Masons were 8. Benjamin Franklin, John Hancock, Joseph Hughes, William Hooper, Robert Treat Paine, Richard Stockton, George Walton, and William Whipple. Evidence of membership and or affiliations, there were 7. Eldridge Berry, Lyman Hall, Thomas Jefferson, Thomas Nelson Jr., John Penn, George Reed, and Roger Sherman. Notice how we don't recognize most of those names. Well, so the summary of that is 15 of the 56 signers were Freemasons or probable Freemasons. It's true that this represents only 27% of the total signers, but this 27% included the principal movers of the Revolution, most notably Ben Franklin and Thomas Jefferson, the primary authors of the Declaration. The former was a Freemason, the latter a deist and possible Freemason. If one were to analyze the Declaration, he would see the humanistic influences. And we can go on and talk about all the different members or signers of the Constitution who were and who were not. The majority of the commanders of the Continental Army were Freemasons and a member of Army Lodges. Most of George Washington's generals were Freemasons. The Boston Tea Party was planned at the Green Dragon Tavern, also known as Freemasons Arms and headquarters of the Revolution. They planned and carried out the Boston Tea Party. So again, we have the playing both sides. George, we already talked about George Washington. Now, of course, the cornerstone of the Capitol building was laid by the Grand Lodge of Maryland. So now let's talk about the Declaration of Independence in this last half an hour. Is it really what you think it was? Probably not. Now, this source is called Masonic Forefathers. Historians recognize the beginning of the new independent republic occurred on July 4, 1776, when the Declaration of Independence was publicly issued. We already know that the timing of this declaration was carefully calculated according to satanic doctrine. July 4th is exactly the 66th day following the beginning of the Satan High Holy period called Baltana. It's spelled Beltane, but it's pronounced Baltana. Which begins on April 30th. In this calculation, April 30th is counted as day one. The number 66 is the occult number for the perfect government of the perfect man, who is represented by the number 666. Therefore, by waiting for the 66th day following Baltana to establish the United States of America, our Masonic forefathers were telling fellow adepts throughout the world and through time that America was going to be the new Atlantis, the forerunner of the perfect global government of the Antichrist. Further, July 4th is exactly 13 days after the summer solstice until June 21st. In this calculation, June 22nd is counted as day one. The number 13 is the number of Satan's rebellion and figures prominently in Luciferian lore. Now, David Ovison tells us something new about the Declaration of Independence. He says, these astrological computations clearly show that on the day the Declaration of Independence was agreed in Philadelphia, the sun was in Sirius. Now that is very interesting, especially for those people who do study esoteric things and the occult. I know Josh Reeves on his show, The Global Reality, which airs also on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. He talks about Sirius a lot. Freeman Fly, who also has a show on Oracle, talks about Sirius a lot. And that's S-I-R-I-U-S, the Dark Star. Very, very interesting stuff. It goes on to say, thus our Masonic occult founding fathers calculated even the day when they should agree on the wording of the Declaration of Independence. This day was one in which the sun was on Sirius. This careful attention to the timing of the events which succeeded in founding the nation were predetermined according to astrological phenomenon. Very, very interesting. We'll be right back and talk about the rules of down the bottom from those sides.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that is, you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. You're using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
I wrote 30 years ago a fable that brave new world, which is essentially the account of society, making use of all the devices at their time available, and some of the devices which I imagined to be possible, making use of them in order to, first of all, to standardize the population, to iron out inconvenient human differences, to create, so to say, mass-produced models of human beings arranged in some kind.
Welcome back, everybody. We were talking about the occult significance of the Declaration of Independence, and Mr. Ovison clearly states, quote, the Mason who first signed the Declaration of Independence would have been aware of the particular significance of July 4th as a cosmic event. So We have learned that almost all of the people involved in the American Revolution creating and signing the Declaration of Independence and trying to secure financial aid from France and Spain were all Freemasons, almost all of them. And some of them, the key players, if you will, had extensive ties with Masonic lodges around the world, and they exploited that to the fullest. And again, if you have not gotten this yet, please consider how the classic tactic of using both sides against each other has been used over and over and over again, and it's no different in the American Revolution. Now, we're going to talk about where did these founding fathers' loyalty actually lie. This is called George Washington's Loyalty by James Montgomery, and I believe that is also in the New World Order Library, www.nwolibrary.com. Click on the NWO Library button in the History section of the United States of America. He says, quote, in May 1775, okay, pay attention to the date, Washington said, quote, if you ever hear me joining in any such measure as separation from Great Britain, then you have my leave to set me down for everything wicked. He also said, quote, it is not wish or interest of the government, meaning Massachusetts, or of any other upon this continent, separately or collectively, to set up for independence, end quote. Now, that is from the National American Review, published in August 1892, and that was the second one, I guess, they published. Also, quoted in Sources of the Constitution of the United States by Ellis Stevens, published in 1927. So, wait a minute. That was May 1775. He said that. He had no interest in gaining independence or being separate from Great Britain. Now, to me, that's kind of a bombshell. So why would he say that? Okay, now we're going to read, and this is very interesting, it's called Guide to American Presidents, specifically George Washington, first president of the United States, his family essay, and this is from Burke's Peerage and Gentry, okay, Burke's, B-U-R-K-E-S, dash, Peerage, P-E-E-R-A-G-E, .com. And, of course, they are all about genealogy. It says, the Washingtons are of unusual antiquity in European terms, let alone American ones. A direct male ancestry has been traced back to William de Wessington, i.e. Washington, a town in Tyne and Weir, formerly County Durham in northern England, who was living in the late 12th century. In 1264, William de Wessington's grandson, or conceivably son, Sir Walter de Washington, fought on King Henry III's side against Simon de Montfort at the Battle of Lewes, where he was killed. So far, George Washington's ancestors had been the senior male line, but after Sir Walter's son, they descend through a junior branch. This branch also seems to have maintained the family loyalty to the kings of England. Robert, Sir Walter's grandson, chose as his wife Joan de Strickland, a member of the North County family who had supplied several sheriffs of their county, a deputy lieutenant of their county, the bearer of the banner of St. George at the Battle of Agincourt during the Hundred Years' War against the French, and a leader of the Royalist Infantry Regiment at the Battle of Edgehill in the Civil War of the 17th century. Despite their marrying, several heiresses of this junior branch of Washington's could not arrest the decline over the next two centuries of their younger sons, and George Washington's recent ancestors descended from a younger branch of a younger branch. By the mid-16th century, this junior branch of the Washingtons was settled at Solgrave in the English Midland country of Northamptonshire. Even now, they enjoyed the status of lesser gentry. Robert Washington, in 1584, inherited 1,250 acres, a respectable property. George Washington, however, descends from a fifth son of Lawrence Washington, who predeceased his father, the Robert, who had inherited the 1,250 acres, after having sold the bulk of the estate at Solgrave in 1605, perhaps under some financial pressure. This fifth son became a parson, but was expelled from the parish as a royalist by the parliamentarians during the Civil War. It was therefore understandable that the parson's son, Colonel John Washington, should emigrate to America. There, he eventually acquired 6,000 acres including $700 as his wife's dowry, which was more than respectable by English standards. Colonel John, son Captain Lawrence Washington, as the High Sheriff in Virginia in 1692, continued the long family tradition of supporting the crown, albeit in an American context. He married Mildred Warner, granddaughter of one-time acting governor of Virginia and descendant of the medieval lords Kyme, K-Y-M-E, whose loyalty to their king was not always total. It would be downright fanciful to trace George Washington's disaffection towards the Hanoverian George III to a remote ancestor's quarrel with the Plantagenets. Yet the link between Washington and the Plantagenet high politics was not as tenuous as might be supposed. Because of the vagaries of English peerage law, Washington was a potential heir to the Kyme title, which had become abeyant, which very roughly means fallen into disuse, in 1381. He was almost certainly not aware of this, although since he remained technically King George's subject until the Treaty of Paris in 1783, and certainly until the end of 1775, when two-thirds of his life was over, and titles of nobility were only dropped in the United States in 1795, after some discussion as to whether to introduce Native American ones or the historical might-have-beens are intriguing, to say the least. Now, I don't know if you caught that or not, but George Washington was, his family line, his bloodline was loyal to the crown of England, and he actually was somehow related to another throne regarding the Plantagenets. So if you've never heard of that, you really should look that up. So why that gives you a reason kind of why he would not have any intention of betraying this loyalty that his family line had maintained through several centuries. And he was considered a gentry. He was considered a peer. So why would he want to give that up? He had a high position up in Massachusetts, and he was doing quite well. And, you know, most people are under the impression that all of the reason that the colonists rebelled against England was because they wanted independence and all of that. And, you know, that's what we're told. But really the real reason is because they were being taxed with representation, and they felt that the king had violated the charter that he had used to create the various colonies in the American continent. And we talked about that last week. Now, here we are on A Short History of the American Nation by James Montgomery, as quoted as saying, Alexander Hamilton was relentless in his pursuit of establishing the first bank of the United States and continued use of the international bankers' money. Was Alexander Hamilton who he claimed to be, a loyal American, or was he an agent working for the international bankers? The only way to find this out is to examine known history. Alexander Hamilton was born Alexander Levine, of Jewish lineage in Cinque in the West Indies. Now, after changing his name and his geographical situation, he entered the United States military. He was a staff duty officer for General George Washington. Hamilton emerged from the Revolutionary War as a lieutenant colonel, and on December 14, 1780, he married the second daughter of General Philip Schuyler's at the bride's home in Albany, New York. General Philip Schuyler's influence in New York politics was great. The bride's mother was Catherine Van Rensselaer, colonel, a daughter of Colonel John R. Van Rensselaer, who was son of Hendrick, great-grandson of Killane, the first Plantoon, heir to Baron Von Rothschild. So I hope that it's becoming clear that, oh my goodness, these people are not who they have been portrayed to be. And that was from The Intimate Life of Alexander Hamilton, published in 1910. Well, so did these people all have the colonists' interests at heart, or their own and the king's? Well, this is from question 10, Constitutional Fraud by James Montgomery, and then you can find that again in the library. It says, our history has been covered up, modified by unnamed individuals to change the course of our government. This goes back to the founding of our country, and I am talking about the charters creating a commercial enterprise we now call the United States. And I can prove that we were allowed and encouraged to believe that we were free, and that the Declaration of Independence and the Revolutionary War were overturned by the Paris Peace Treaty of 1783, the Jay Treaty of 1795, and the Treaty of Ghent in 1814. I can prove our forefathers, for the most part, were mainly concerned with their holdings in England and their fortunes that were tied to England through trading and their
businesses.
How would
you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more, all at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own Survival Oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with two cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. That's SurvivalOven.com.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Prime Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Prime Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
You invest. You buy insurance. You wear your seatbelt. You do things to ensure your family's future and protection. But why? Just in case? With the current state of affairs, ask yourself, am I ready? Preparation starts at SurvivalGearSource.com. SurvivalGearSource.com has a huge selection of vital products, emergency survival kits, gas masks, MREs, products for pet care, your car, home, office, and school. Protect against pandemics, all natural disasters, and terror attacks that can happen at any time. If you're not prepared, the last place you want to be is standing in a FEMA line. Invest in your future now. Visit SurvivalGearSource.com or call 877-231-1925. That's 877-231-1925. SurvivalGearSource.com. That's SurvivalGearSource.com. 877-231-1925. SurvivalGearSource.com. Prepare for tomorrow now, and for a free gift on your first order, enter coupon code ORACLE at checkout. Don't forget, preparation starts at SurvivalGearSource.com.
The Animal Farm Radio Show.
Now, this is the greatest show on radio because Pia is on the show.
I know.
Weeknight 2, 5 to 7 p.m. Central.
The question of how and why the United Nations, at the crux of the great conspiracy to destroy the sovereignty of the United States and the enslavement of the American people within a UN one-world dictatorship, is a complete and unknown mystery to the vast majority of the American people. The reason for this unawareness of the frightening danger to our country and to the entire free world is simple. The masterminds behind this great conspiracy have absolute control.
All right, welcome back. Last segment, everybody, of the Iconoclast Report. We were reading from question number 10, Constitutional Fraud by James Montgomery, and some very powerful statements that he was making when I was talking over the music, so I will repeat that really quickly. He was saying that our forefathers, for the most part, were mainly concerned with their holdings in England and their fortunes that were tied to England through trading in their businesses. Because of this, they conceded to the wishes of the king and allowed him to retain control of his colonies, but to do it in a way that the colonists would not be aware of. The United States Constitution is just a continuation of the earlier charters, a continuation of the king's corporate enterprise. The states granted certain powers in the 1787 Constitution of the United States, to the United States government, which is the corporation it created, and no more. Yet, I can prove as early as 1791, Congress violated the corporate charter and gave unconstitutional powers to the president, whereby President George Washington created district states by dividing the states, in his own words. And we will talk about that next week in part three. Since that time, Congress had continued to cede congressional powers to the president, completing the office of king. Congress is now going to give the president fast-track authority to enter treaties without prior Senate approval, and that has been done. Now on to question 13. Hello, Robert, by James Montgomery, and these are questions he had responded to, emails that he had gotten. It says, fact. The king allowed the inhabitants of the states to believe that they were free, just as with the British people and the 1215 Charter and the 1689 Declaration of Rights. Now, for a short period of time, 11 years to be exact, the inhabitants of the colonies slash states were declared to be freemen. In fact, freeman status ended with the passage of the 1787 Constitution because all state inhabitants, and that's capital S, remember we talked about capitanems last week, the capital S state inhabitants were now declared by their representatives to be citizens, lowercase c, subject to the laws of the United States government. Fact, the states, capital S, ceded their grants of land and most of their sovereignty to the United States, 1787 Constitution and the U.S. government. Fact, the king knew a central government was going to be created by the states when he signed the 1783 Peace Treaty. Fact, by the creation of the 1787 Constitution, a republic was created. Fact, the republic is in no way a hindrance to the king in regaining his land via taxation and banking. The 1787 Constitution created a 10-mile square district not subject to the restraints of the 1787 Constitution. In 1789, the Judiciary Act was passed by Congress establishing courts of law compatible with England, so contracts and businesses would continue with England. In 1791, Washington, who once said no to being the king, also said he did not want independence from the king, allowed the office of president to become a monarchy outside the 1787 Constitution when he declared he was dividing the states, capital S, into district states, lowercase d, capital S. Fact, the district states are subject to the president. This has never, ever changed. In 1791, the Bank of the United States was allowed to be chartered by George Washington. The bank was financed by the British Board of Trade that was controlled by the Pope and the Rothschild Cabal. In 1811, when Congress refused to recharter the bank, England declared war on the United States, and that is the real reason they declared war. In 1810, the 13th Amendment was proposed, which would have effectively removed the king's power of reclaiming his land from the American people by removing the possibility of lawyers slash esquires running and obtaining office in the United States government. Fact, the War of 1812 took place. The main objective was the burning of our documents in Washington, D.C., and the increasing of the debt of the United States so the bank would have to be rechartered. Fact, the John Jay Treaty, the Paris Peace Treaty, 1792, took place, giving away much of what was won by the 1783 Peace Treaty. Okay, so everything that we have been told is a lie. I am really fascinated by history, especially hidden history, and I am a geeky researcher lady who I just can't get enough information. Kind of like, I guess, crack people with crack. I just want more and more and more because what I don't know can fill a warehouse. And the more I learn, the more I want to know. History is not always boring. History is actually quite fascinating, and especially when you get into the things that are outside of what is in the books that are published by major publishing houses and that are taught in the government indoctrination centers known as schools, whether public, private, or parochial. The real history, the hidden history, is so fascinating because especially with this series, we are starting to see the relationships between these people that have been held up as essentially idols. You know, I talked about George Washington being sacrosanct. How could you possibly, you know, criticize the man with wooden teeth who couldn't tell a lie that he chopped down a cherry tree? Well, you know, honestly, very easily. Let's look at it all. Let's call a spade a spade. And sometimes information is confusing. Sometimes it's disturbing. Sometimes it's a little bit frightening or upsetting. But, you know, we have to be strong and we have to face it. We have to look at it right in the face. And sometimes it causes us to reevaluate the things that we have been told, that our belief systems, the various paradigms that we find ourselves in. Sometimes they're very cherished beliefs, especially regarding religion and history, as far as you know, nationalities and nationalism and patriotism and things like that. Now, we've talked about at the beginning of the series that there's nothing wrong with loving your country or wanting to make it better. But it's really important, as I said, to look at the facts. Let's look at who these people really were, what they were really doing. Let's look at the relationships. Let's see who were they affiliated with. And so what were their real loyalties? What were their real motives? And could they have had ulterior motives? Now, next week, we're going to talk about George Washington dividing the states into district states. We're going to talk about the actual Constitution itself, the history surrounding that, the people who wrote it, what was going on. And I don't know that we're going to be talking about orgies next week, although that was pretty funny this week. But it will still be just as interesting and just as fascinating, because this is all stuff that I did not know until I started looking into it, and I am so happy to spend my time researching to be able to share this information with you. And again, if you have never been to my website, it is www.nwolibrary.com. If you click on the NWO Library button or a text link, it will take you to my online library. It is free, no registration required, open to the public anytime, anywhere, except maybe in China, I don't know. But all of the documents there I have read at least twice. So it's got a stick in there somewhere in my memory. But, you know, I have done an inordinate amount of research on all kinds of different topics, and I spend my time doing that when I can, and uploading these documents for you to make it easier for you, dear listener, to be able to research a little bit easier and not have to spend quite as much time. It is, of course, set up like a regular library with, you know, main sections and subsections. And, you know, you can save them to read later. You can read along with me. You can even email them to somebody else that you think would really benefit from that information. And they're various and sundry topics. Sometimes they may seem related. Sometimes they may just seem completely out and left field. But the point is, it's a labor of love, and I'm really happy to be able to do that for you. And I want to thank each and every one of you for letting me into your homes on this Saturday, if you're listening live, or on a rebroadcast on various micro-broadcasters or FM-AM stations, or in the archives on my website. And if you missed part one, I do encourage you to go back and listen to that, because that will make some of what we talked about today a little more clear, why we needed to get into the loyalties and who was who. Well, we'll be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel. Take care, everybody, and face the facts.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.